Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We are having a little episode. That man you saw in front of the camera, that was Robert. Just, oh, and that was Bill. It's going to be about the blame game today.
Wow.
I can feel it. Got the blame game coming on. So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
So
and
we know who to blame.
Yeah.
Talk about our sponsor,
well,
Bill.
Yeah, now that we got all our technical stuff ironed out here, didn't seem like it was that
hit our heads
difficult.
On the microphones and turned up the sound.
Yeah, got all the important things done. Hey, our sponsor this morning is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape offers all your ag solutions. If you have a situation where you need get out there and till the ground or mow or whatever, just go up and see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And also, they are a Honda generator dealer, and that season is coming on here pretty quick. So go by and talk to them about a new generator. And also, just recently, they picked up the steel product line. So chainsaws, weed trimmers, you name it, they got it all up there. So go by and see them. Give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And we're already hearing about PG&E electricity shutoffs, so you might want to get on that sooner rather than later.
They announced that last week that they will be shutting off the power, so...
Great.
Yeah.
Something else to look forward to if you live in California, besides the fact the legislature may go back into session, and we all know they're going to pass some wonderful laws. So it's May 3rd today, in case we replay this program, because I kind of think we are. And we have another fumble on the play. Our guests have very long biographies, so we went through and highlighted the important stuff so that, Evelyn Wood wasn't available to read it for us, because they're long, and these guys have really interesting, really, really interesting backgrounds, and I think you're going to find the topic new and different for us. You could find everything about our guests and our show and 10 years of archives that you're free to use however you like. They're commercial-free MP3 files at wethepeopleradio.us. And you can also find us on Tuesday nights in the Reading area on KRDT Channel 23.7 on the American Uncensored Network, which is television. Although we have outfits and faces for radio. But Robert makes it the television, which is sad. We told him not to move the camera in any closer. Because it's just like that. So... Bill, why don't you tell us about our? Well, we're having both guys on at the same time, so I guess he's not really our first guest. He just happens to be listed on the page, and I suppose I should tell you how I found these guys. I was checking my email. Go figure. You know, we're all locked in basically, so nothing better to do but check email. And I was at work, so I got an email from the VA, which most of the time doesn't have anything new or late breaking, just more happy news about how great they're doing, and. It kind of caught my eye. I don't even remember what the thing said, but it had something about human behavior and risk assessment and stuff like that. And I thought, ew, that's fun. So I was sitting at my desk, and so I had the ability to kind of, you know, listen to something. I wasn't driving and talking on the phone and doing 17 things. So I thought, oh, I'm just going to listen. And I heard Brian Marin chatting about his background and whatnot. And I thought, ew, this is cool. This would be a great radio program. So I sent him an email, and because he's punctual and all that, he quickly wrote back and said that they would be able to come on, and then he asked if one of their other partners, Greg Williams, would come on with him. So I'm going to have them tell you more about what they do, but we're going to tell you about what they've done. How about that?
There you are. Yeah, Brian is a decorated Marine, high-threat protection security professional, and subject matter expert on human behavior pattern recognition and analysis. He spent the last 17 years conducting both real-world and training operations all over the United States and the Middle East, in both Central and East Asia. He's a highly experienced, highly motivated professional, has the ability to adapt to any environment, whether he's on the battlefield or the boardroom. So he's done a lot. He was hired by Cubic Applications to be a tactics analyst and newly conducted infantry immersion trainer. say that quick.
I was just going to say
IIT, aboard Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. During his time at the IIT, Brian trained and advised thousands of Marines on how to make better tactical decisions during highly complex and chaotic live fire training exercises. He's also worked as a security contractor for the U.S. Department High Threat Protection Program. He was responsible for personally protecting hundreds of U.S. government personnel in multiple high-threat environments, including Iraq and Afghanistan. Brian formerly worked for or worked as a senior instructor team leader for Orbis Operations. You can look them up online. During Brian's tenure at Orbis Operations, he trained hundreds of law enforcement professionals, including U.S. Border Patrol, DEA, ICE, TSA, U.S. Marshals, and other federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. He holds a Master's of Science in Applied Psychology from the University of Southern California and a Bachelor's of Science in Political Science from Arizona State University. He continues to serve the veteran community as both an ambassador for Carry the Load, but also as a board member for Crusades 22. So you can look both of them up. Good organizations, veteran support organizations.
And that was only part, actually.
Yeah,
that's a
condensed version. I mean, we can go into...
Not to put too fine a point on that, but that was the condensed version. And the regular version's on the website and also on theirs. So before we bring on Greg, because we've got just a couple minutes before the first break, we probably should figure out whose voice belongs to whom. So, Brian, what did we miss? Anything good?
Oh, man, whoever that guy was sounded pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, he's a trained professional. Don't try that at home.
Oh, that Bill guy.
This is Brian. Thank you guys so much for having me come on. And like you said, you heard me on the VA's podcast and got me on there. And then I thought it'd be cool to come on your show when you reached out. Absolutely. And then also, if you want the real expert in the room, I said, well, why don't you just bring on Greg Williams? Because he's the one that wrote all this cool stuff that I get to go out and teach. So you get to hear it from both ends of the horse, I guess, if you're getting both of us on here.
That's
I didn't dare read his bio. Yeah, that was
the short straw on that one. We'll have Evelyn Wood here after the break reading Greg's. And how do you pronounce the name of your company?
It's called Arcadia Cognorati.
Huh, that's what I was going to pick. But then I thought, well, I should just have you say it rather than me butcher.
No, I appreciate that. No, that's always an interesting. It makes people kind of go, hey, wait, what is this? And that's part of the point of it. So
it was kind of funny because I looked up.
You got to look into it. Yeah.
I looked up, what is a Cognorati? There isn't one, by the way, just in case you're curious.
You guys can go up, and listeners, of course, can look up what Arcadia refers to, and it's, we throw back to the ancient Greeks a lot because they were the ones experts at human behavior long before any of us were around, right? A lot of this stuff has been around for a long time, and then cognorati was kind of a term that Greg came up with. It's just, people who deal with cognition or metacognition, and the whole point being, how do we think our way out of a situation? And there's a lot that can be put in there, kind of taking off the term almost like paparazzi or something like that. So that's kind of where those terms came from. And so, why not have him on here as well, too?
Yeah, I just thought it was cool. So it says in the, in your mission statement, I really like the line. I put it in red on the website. We believe your competence and your confidence... rebuild your competence and confidence so you can make the right decision at the right time for the right reason. Like, well, that's in short supply, needless to say.
Yeah, well,
we could use
a lot more of that. That's what people are looking for, right? So anytime anyone we work with, and we all do, human behavior-based skill set, so it's all what's going on inside your brain, right? So that can get us into a lot of areas, but what it is, if I come to your organization, Aaron or Bill, and I'm not going to be the one to go, oh, here's what you need to change. Here's what you got to do. You guys already know. You have the answers. Just maybe you haven't really articulated it yet. Maybe you aren't really sure what it is. But you're the experts in what you do. And what we come in is, well, we're going to layer on this training, this skill set that's based in science. and it's going to allow you to make the right decisions. It's going to allow you to take what you already know, what you've already experienced in your life or at work, and go, oh, you know what? Hey, we've had the answer here all the time. I just need to do this. And that's usually the best way we think to do things, right? I don't want to come in, you know, someone's house and tell them how to decorate it, right? So it's your...
Neither do I, because it sounds boring and tedious. Okay, so on that note, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the elusive and indomitable Greg Williams.
Yeah.
Keep the cotton ready to yourself.
Yeah, everybody, just get your seatbelt ready. So you are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Official coronavirus theme song. Welcome back. Every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. I wish we could just carry it around like on a little recorder in the grocery store, maybe to make people happier.
Yeah.
Gosh, we went there last night. It was like people were panicked. It's like being in a little rat maze. Everybody started running every time you walk near them.
It's funny, 2 months ago, whoever heard of social distancing? I never heard that term before. Now it's...
We used to make fun of close talking. Remember, they did a whole Seinfeld episode about that. It's over now. Nobody will, in the future, people won't even understand what they're talking about. So back to the serious topic. Our other guest, Greg Williams, is a decorated veteran urban law enforcement professional and a decorated veteran former soldier with over 30 years of combined experience and expertise. He's an adjunct professor of sociology and has done work for Western State University, San Diego State University, and University of Southern California and USC's Institute for Creative Technology. He's an industry expert in irregular warfare for the defense community. I'm dying to know what irregular warfare is. He has worked with the DEA, the Mobile Enforcement Team, the 5th Judicial District's Drug Task Force and Shooting Task Force in Colorado. He's held virtually every law enforcement position from patrol officer, shift supervisor, SWAT, director, undercover narcotics operations supervisor, undersheriff, and interim chief of police. Yeah, I think that is probably everything.
I didn't hear kindergarten teacher in there.
Yeah.
That's the true test.
If he was posing as Arnold Schwarzenegger being a kindergarten teacher, he's probably already done that. It's just not even on here. He also has a U.S. Department of Defense top secret security clearance. That's where he does that, by the way, Bill.
Oh, okay.
And has worked as a subject matter expert, contractor, or consultant for many U.S. DOD agencies. And outside the U.S., he has worked with NATO commands, and I won't even list all the possibilities of those. I mean, if you really want to know they're not the three-letter agencies, it's just multi-letter agencies. This is like acronym central. Greg has been there and done that. If I could just list the acronyms, we could make this very quick. And I'll read the second half a bit later, but Greg, you've done a lot of stuff. Are you like 120?
Don't believe everything you read.
are you like 120 years old?
Yeah. Well, Brian Marin and I sat in the same room and we said, look, we're both out of work and we're both homeless. I'll write your resume. You write mine. We opened up a couple of Tom Clancy novels and there you have it.
There you go.
And he said, those knuckleheads at We the People, they'll put us on.
Exactly. So you're the first chance that we've had to test our resume, and so far it's worked perfectly.
Oh, yeah, we'll make you shine. Don't worry about that.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, because, you know, I don't even know what a lot of these things are. Rescue Team Boar Star. I'm like, what is that? I mean, I kind of deal in this stuff a little bit in my day job. Yeah. I've never heard of it.
Trust me, your phone will be ringing when you get off
the show.
Half
of these things, crazy.
Thank you so much.
So what does that really like kind of boil down to? Like, how'd you get into this thing? What's the irregular warfare about? I got a lot of questions.
So the simplest way of thinking about it is that there's a lesser trained, less experienced, less well-armed organizations that can hold up against bigger, stronger, slower moving organizations. And if you've ever thought of the David and Goliath, a lot of the insurgencies in the world started thusly and were able to hold their own against Russia, the former Soviet Union, the United States for years and years and years in some what seemed to be never-ending conflicts. So asymmetric and irregular warfare are those type of guerrilla tactics that allow those smaller forces to operate, to remain hidden, to hide in plain sight. And so we specialize at Arcadia in teaching people human behavior pattern recognition and analysis. And the easiest way to think of that big old resume is that everybody has been doing human behavior pattern recognition all their lives without training. You know when your spouse or significant other is happy or sad. You know when the baby needs changing. You know when you're hungry or, you know, when things feel tense around the kitchen table. The thing that's lacking in most humans is the analysis. So what we do is we bring an extra set of lenses along and teach people how they can predict as threats and therefore prevent dangerous situations well before they ever occur.
I think something that our society could use, and I know we're talking a lot about the military application, but you guys also work with companies and lots of groups. You do a lot of training outside the military field.
Yeah. And first of all, thanks for having us on. Thanks so much. And Brian did such great work, and right now with Carry the Load, he's involved in their virtual march that'll be ending here next week on Memorial Day. All great stuff that Brian's done. Just because we're former soldiers and former law enforcement and we work with first responders, we work with everybody. When we do a regional training approach, we talk to the schools and the churches and human resources personnel, because if it was forged in fire, if it worked on the battlefield, clearly it's going to work in the boardroom. And if it's been tested in the most hostile Spartan environments on the face of the planet, well, then obviously it's going to work for you in your everyday operations. And that's what we try to get people to understand. Some of the best things in the medical world, some of the best advances in aviation all came out of the horrors of war. So what we've learned and been able to apply in bad situations is to the benefit of anybody that wants to increase their human performance or increase their ability to lead or to communicate transparently with the people that they work with.
It makes a lot of sense. And from a threat standpoint, it's much I thought the topic was interesting because I know that's always been a big debate, especially in the industry of law enforcement, the concept of profiling. That always gets such a bad rap, but that's really
it's
the most
necessary.
God, that's the most effective way to figure out who is truly dangerous. Are you kind of giving it a new? Are you shining it up and repackaging it for them?
No. Actually, pretexting and profiling are both absolutely legal. Racial profiling is horrible and illegal, and it should be, and it should remain outlawed. The idea of profiling: if you take a look at your computer, you have a computer profile. If you take a look at any of your social media accounts, they want you to build a profile. When you buy things online, when you go to Amazon, you have a profile. So there's nothing wrong with profiling. Advertisers, politicians, everybody does that. What's wrong with it is if we're only looking through one lens, if we only look at your political background, or if we only look at your religious background, or your ideological concerns, or your First Amendment rights. When we specify one thing, like race or religion, then that's wrong, and we should never do that. And the great thing about what we teach is your race, your religion, your politics never come into it. We don't look at the motive. We look at what you're saying and what you're doing, and that behavior is what's important to us.
See, I think that makes a whole lot of sense, and I think that that really is what has been going on all along. But
yeah, I've never heard it put that way before, but absolutely right. Everybody profiles.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you decide what line to get in at the grocery store, for heaven's sakes, you know, based on who looks like they're being a dummy.
That's a great example right there, the line at the grocery store. And Bill, you said it too. Well, this is something all people do, right? And that's why Greg gave that great definition of human behavior pattern recognition. That's how your brain works. That's how every human works. So you're already doing it. And that's why what happens is, you know, if we don't get that the analysis portion and trained on an analytical framework on which to articulate what it is that you're observing and seeing, and then actually use it in a legal, moral, and ethical way, right, we tend to jump to unreasonable conclusions, right? So that's usually what happens, where people will pick up on a pattern, and they're getting that right, and then they go, oh, well, it must be X, or it must be Y, and you're going, well wait, what did you use to get to that conclusion? And that's kind of where we come in.
Is to turn it from we noticed it to how can we be proactive to either work with it or against it?
Yeah. And remember, proactivity is the ability to sense make your environment. So you have to be able to tune in. What happens is humans, we're already biased, and we have things like confirmation bias. We believe our own BS, and we reinforce our own BS by only reading and watching those television shows that support the BS that we believe. And so what happens is we're looking, you know, at the rest of the world through a straw. So what we do is we widen that aperture and we say, hey, listen, what are the artifacts and evidence that you're using to support this conclusion? And if they fall short, then guess what? You got to throw them out and you got to start over. And as Brian said so eloquently, you have to create an architecture. So left of the event, the things that happened before, they start coalescing and they start forming these clusters and cues. And that pre-event indication is either going to tell you that everything's going fine because it's just like every other event we've been in, or guess what? I'm a little suspicious. Something feels off today. Well, what we do is we put the science behind those feelings. When you say, hey, you know, I get butterflies before I go on the air, well, it's important because that's cortisol coming down from your amygdala and warning you that you're about to go speak in front of people. You know, the hair on the back of my hen stands up. Well, the hair on your neck is your erector pili muscle, and that's activated by electrochemical neurotransmitters that are warning you that something is new and changed in your environment. That dog is looking at you funny and might want to bite you. So all we do is take a giant evolutionary step back and put you in touch with the hardwiring, the framework, the analytical framework of the human brain.
Yeah, see, I that was the part I haven't read yet. The programs that you've created are all scientifically and academically vetted and also combat tested, currently being used by DOD agencies, U.S. forces, Homeland Defense partners. And I just thought it was interesting that you've also developed something called Gatekeeper Situational Awareness Training. I'd love to make sure we don't forget that, to help combat the suicide pandemic. And I don't know what a sharp SAT is, to help address the sexual harassment dilemma for the U.S. Army. But that's a big deal, too, a really big deal. And so we want to make sure we get into that. But I really like the idea that all these things that we know, you know, we can feel them. And it's not always a good decision-making tool, but it sounds like maybe we're a little farther along than we thought.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, how many people go through their day-to-day life and never really look up and pay attention to their surroundings and have that situational awareness they need to stay out of trouble and to make the right decisions.
You always hear from people that, I thought it wasn't a very good idea to do whatever, and they ignored it. So, maybe when we come back, either one of you, how about let us know on that ignoring thing. Like, how much should we trust what we initially think? And maybe we haven't had your extensive training, but are we smarter than we think, or should we just leave it to the professionals? You are listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
That's what Greg and Brian are doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching you. So either one of you, so what about the intuition thing? You know, you hear a lot of victims of crime will say that they had a feeling they shouldn't get into the elevator because the person in there looked scary, and then they felt like, oh, that's really silly, I should just... And they talked themselves out of it.
Yeah, no, that's a great, great example, and that happens a lot, and so that's why a lot of what we teach is we call the science of intuition, right? So there is no sixth sense, right? You can't point to a physiology book or anatomy book and go, hey, where's the sixth sense? It doesn't exist. But we have that intuition, that gut feeling, which is really just our primitive brain, right, our limbic system that's been designed to keep human beings alive. But as a whole, I mean, it's an entire race, right? We're still operating on that same system, right? So it's there. We just don't ever have to use it anymore, right? We live in a comfortable, safe world. I mean, despite what we think sometimes, now more humans die from overeating than from undereating, right? So you're more likely to die overeating in a McDonald's parking lot than you are to get chased down by a tiger, you know, because when you're out hunting for food, right? But we still have all that stuff on board. So if we can learn to use it and listen to it, and like we said, we always say, hey, trust your gut. If something doesn't feel right, then you can leave. You can get out of that situation. So yes, that intuition is there, and you got to dust it off sometimes and relearn how to use it. And I know, Greg, you love talking about the science of intuition and your sixth sense.
As you know, Brian has it spot on, so there's not too much to add. But the idea is that all human beings walk through, and we're on sort of a rote memorization based on our experiences. We're lazy, so we repeat the behaviors that give us the best return for our investment. And we really never challenge ourselves. We go to the same place for breakfast or to grab our coffee. We park in the same part of the lot. And so what we unintentionally do is we dumb life down, and we make it easier for terrorists, criminals, and insurgents to predate us. So if we were still living back in the early days, the less evolved days, we would be prehistoric food fodder, you know, for the tyrannosaur threat. So what we try to do is we try to make it simple and fun to remain alert and aware in your environment, and that worked very well in Iraq and Afghanistan, other places that our U.S. forces had a fight. You can't teach every soldier going forward, sailor, marine, or airman, what every bomb is going to look like or what every camouflage pattern is going to look like or what the hide sight for a sniper is going to look like. So you got to teach them simple stuff. Where would I hide to kill me? What do I have available in this environment that I could use to hide that bomb? Where would I park a car bomb to do the most damage? And once you start the critical thinking portion, then what happens is those self-experts, you know, because you've got a whole bunch of tacit and experiential knowledge in your own life, that starts coming forward, and then you start getting subject matter experts in the field. And people would always say, Jim Mattis, General Mattis, chaos actual for the Marine Corps, would always say, hey, do you think that a farm boy is better than this, or maybe a hunter is better than that? And that was, you know, what created the Combat Hunter program, is that we said, okay, well, we'll show you. We'll show you where that intuition comes from. And yes, some people are naturally better than others, but the idea is you can train to a standard. You can increase situational awareness and open people's apertures.
So if you were going to, if somebody was listening to this and thought, oh, I'm one of those people. Like, I do the exact same thing every single time. You know, walk your dog. It's funny, even dogs fall into that pattern. Like, I find that if I walk our dog in the same route all the time, he gets really hyper-vigilant about, you know, cars, garbage cans, for sale signs, because he has nothing else to think about. He's already walked that way all the time. And so I thought, geez, I'm kind of messing up my own dog. I need to take him elsewhere so he can look at new things and think about new things and pay more attention to what I'm telling him to do, rather than just like walk, walk, walk. Yep, this is the bush we'd be on. But I think people are like that too, you know, with the parking lot and stuff. So what do you tell them? Just if it's routine, do something different.
Yeah, there's small things you can do just like that. Another great example, and you know, dogs do the same thing, right? They fall in that same pattern. If I'm not up at the right time to take my dog out, she's sitting there going like, hey, what's going on today? What's happening, right? So you can take small changes of just, hey, the route you take, right? So, hey, instead of walking every day, I come out of my house, walk the dog and go left, today I'm going to go right and take that new route. I'm going to leave 5 minutes earlier or 20 minutes earlier than I typically do. And then all of a sudden, your whole world opens up to you. When you force yourself to take a new route and go into an area you haven't been, all of those lenses, all of those skills start to drop back in. Why? Because it's novel. It's new to you. Your brain's going, ooh, a piece of candy. Oh, what's that over there? Oh, look at him over there. Right? And once you start to do that, right, you'll kind of fall out of that habit a little bit. You know, and this goes into even why, you know, why are most motor vehicle accidents within, you know, a couple miles of your home? Well, yes, technically that's where you drive the most, but, but what happens is you get close to home. Your brain shuts off. How many times have you driven home from work and gotten all the way home, you pull in your driveway or out in front of your place, and you get out and go, man, I don't remember anything about that drive. It's because your brain was shut off. You were just going through the motion. So changing those up, making those small changes, it's easier just to kind of flip that light switch back on and kind of view your environment with a new perspective.
Yeah, I would say.
And I would add something to that, Brian. I would say that for both of you, Aaron, you guys have to be predictably unpredictable. And the reason for that is because once we set a pattern, two things happen. One, our brain stops trying, so food doesn't taste as good. Our relationships stagnate. The artwork and the books that we write and the shows that we present just aren't as exciting anymore. They're not as vivid anymore. So the reason, number one, is going to increase and improve my quality of life. Reason number two is I don't want to be a victim. I don't want somebody looking at me through the lens of, you know, saying, hey, I can victimize this person. So it's a win-win situation all the way around.
Yeah, you can, I think all of us could see that in our own lives, things we could do to be more aware, because you are kind of a sitting duck if you're, I mean, it starts when we leave home. How many times have you driven up the street and had to go back around the block because you couldn't remember if you shut your garage door or not?
So
we go on to autopilot, I think, really, before we've left the driveway, which does explain a lot of the driving out there.
The other day I left 15 minutes late for work, and I was immediately surprised at the traffic pattern. It was totally different than the time I normally drive. There were more cars. There were different cars. It was just totally different. So that's exactly right. If you change it up a little bit, you're going to have a totally different experience.
See, it's kind of funny. Bill is the routine at our house, and I'm the random. So it's always different when I go out the door. Oh, my gosh. Well, so I guess I'm kind of curious. Do you guys do the majority of your training with Arcadia with private industry or with government, or is it just kind of a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. It's generally technically still, I would say, more on the government type side, but there's a lot of different reasons for that, right? With private industry, government side, let's say military or law enforcement or county emergency services of some sort, right? They're in the business of being prepared, right? And understand that training is a part of that. Well, private organizations tend to look like, training for my employees, man, they just look at that as a cost versus looking at it as an investment, right? So is that a lot of them are now kind of realizing, oh, wait, if I do invest in my employees and I increase their cognitive acumen, right, I get them thinking more critically, wow, like I'm going to get a huge benefit out of that for the organization as a whole. So there are some out there, but it's kind of crossing that bridge and getting them to see that, you know, it's more than just reading a quote off of LinkedIn or reading a book about leadership or organizational change. You actually, that's all education and that's great. But if you want results, you gotta do some training. And as we say, training changes behavior. So government side they kind of get that a little bit more. But private sector is absolutely coming around on that though.
Yeah. And I would imagine now with all the, you have a lot of things in private industry that have become pretty dangerous, and not necessarily only overseas.
No, and you brought it up. Go ahead, Greg, yeah.
No, and I just want to jump on the same point, Brian. We're birds of a feather on this one. See, you just brought up a very good point. Look, workplace violence that turns into a domestic, that turns into a armed shooter inside of your business. We read it all the time. School shooting, you know, the disenfranchised kid that's going to shoot up his own school. Those are insider threats. But I would tell you that you are more likely to get struck by lightning. You're more likely to win the lottery or to get bit by a shark, then you are to be a victim of a crime or a terrorist. But that doesn't mean that you should look the other way. The idea is that you prepare your physical health and your mental health for situations of adversity. You know, we spent billions of dollars as a nation to be prepared for the COVID virus, and look how well that did. So a little bit of well-placed training is going to change. An employee of your company sees more in the first 15 minutes. The person that cleans up and vacuums your office sees more in an hour than most of the people that work at a normal company the whole year. And so what we do is we try to get in there and tell them that, and I'll bash businesses for a minute, and the business goes, wow, that seems like a great approach, and it could impact our bottom line. How long does it take? And the minute you tell them, hey, it takes a little bit of time, and it takes a little bit of work, and it takes a little bit of money, that's when everybody says, yeah, but I can go online and be a ordained minister in 40 minutes. I can take a check-in-the-box training and spend $15 and have every one of my people certified. That's the difference. We as a society have gone dumber because every time we pull up and order a number three supersized in a clown's mouth and it works, we don't have to work as hard. We have to take a giant evolutionary step backwards and increase our situational awareness and our ability to think critically.
Yeah.
It's also very eye-opening how quickly we have become trained in a lot of those situations where if something doesn't go quite right, we're upset. You know, we had to wait an extra 2 minutes for something, or or we didn't catch the light, or, you know,
we want it now.
We get thrown outside of our bubble.
I've got a song about that, but I don't have it queued up, darn it.
and think about the news responses that you've read, and they're all absolutely predictable. When we're not sure what's next, when we get a little bit of fear, when we're up against an opponent and an opponent surprises us, we don't use our intellect. We increase the threshold or the level of violence. When we're not as resilient, rather than looking for help or going to get help, we injure or damage or cut or kill ourselves. These are things that we're going to have to deal with now, or they're going to plague America and the rest of the world for generations.
Yeah, I'd like you to keep going on that topic. We've got to take yet another quick break to celebrate capitalism while we still can. And we'll be back with our guests, Greg Williams and Brian Maron. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well,
this old man and me, we're at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping night on cares. Talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. Then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
The format for every good behavioral training class you'll ever take.
Yeah. What's the three things that are most important?
The three most important things. So, Greg, I was curious because on your resume it says you've developed programs for private security firms, several major airlines, numerous school systems, first responders, and law enforcement agencies. So, like as far as recognizing, because like whenever we have one of these things, I don't care if it's in whatever one of those categories, it always goes to, well, we've got to take away everybody's guns and we've got to be completely paranoid and that's what'll keep us safe. But I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah, it's absolutely counterintuitive. So you have this horrific situation in Canada, and so the latest broadcast this morning out of the Canadian news is that they're searching for the decals, who produced the decals to make the fake police car, how the person was able to get the, you know, the patches for his uniform so he looked so real, and of course we're banning guns. You know, do whatever it is that you think you need to do, but that's like turning on a nightlight because you're afraid of the monster. You're also shutting the barn door after the horrific incident. The idea is, are you telling me that this guy made this uniform and he made this car in complete isolation? That he never spoke out against his old lady, his wife that he had a domestic violence situation with, or never threatened the police or his neighbors? All people give off pre-event indications of violence. All boxers telegraph the punch that's coming. All you got to do is slow down and learn how to read it. But if you go through your life on transmit, think of a radio, like the radio that we're on. I'm a huge fan of Marconi. If you're doing nothing but broadcasting, you're not listening. And if you only listen with your ears and you don't listen with your brain and with your heart, you're going to miss those cues. And all of those cues were evident. They were just missed. School shooters, the cues were there. They were just missed. Church shooters, the cues were there. They were just missed. So all we want to do, I've been on a crusade for 38 years now, to open eyes, to Saul on the road to Damascus and see the scales fall from folks' eyes so they can see those pre-event indications. And luckily, I run into people like Shelley, our CEO, Brian, former scout sniper, people that are really, really smart and have that ability. And if I can turn them into the best teachers possible to go out to the community, then we might have something.
Yeah, because you always hear it. Just like, I mean, it makes us mad, so it's got to probably just cause you to go berserk. But it always happens after things like that. They start listing off all the things that were happening. He was a wife beater. He got in a fight with his neighbor. He got fired from his job. I mean, the list. And it's like, oh, wow. And nobody thought the guy might go berserk.
Right. To that point, too, is also what happens a lot, too, is we all humans fear things that we don't understand. We have a natural fear. And that's what's kept the human race alive, actually, all this time, despite our best efforts sometimes, right? And so when we don't understand something, it becomes the boogeyman effect, right? So it amplifies, it gets even bigger and larger and scarier, and we want to blame something. So instead of accepting responsibility as a community and a nation and a society, we want to blame, right? And we want to say, well, this is the reason. So when a lot of these things happen, a perfect example that Greg brought up in Canada, everyone goes, well, it's the gun. And we're going, well, no, the gun didn't do it. The gun is an inanimate object. A human did it. And regardless of your political views on that, like, that's, you're not actually addressing the problem. We're not addressing the actual situation. So, but if I've never fired a gun before, or I've never seen it up person, or I've never handled it, it's scary to me. I don't know. So that must be what it is, because we don't want to deal with the mental health and substance abuse issues that our society has. We just want to blame something. So that's kind of where this comes. And remember, we all do it. We all do it with everything, right? And Greg brought it up, as we have very fragile ego systems, right? I don't ever want to be wrong. I don't ever want to be, on the wrong side of things. So we're very focused on what our own personal beliefs that we project that onto others. So that's part of why that comes in, too.
What do you think in the last 20 years? Do you think there's more threats out there for the average person walking down the street? Do you think there's more to be aware of and more to be concerned about than has been in the past?
That's such a great question, and it's a loaded question too. So the internal combustion engine is taken off, and people are pretty excited about this thing called driving. And driving, I predict that there's going to be, 50,000 fatalities on the road every year, and people shouldn't drink and drive because it diminishes their capacity. I'm having fun with you, only based on the fact that, no, I don't think there's an additional risk now. I think that all the same risks are the same risks. I think that guns are dangerous in the wrong hands. I think that mental health unchecked is going to create a powder keg that's just looking for an ignition source to go off. I think that terrorists and criminals are are going to go to extreme means to ply their trade and get their message across. I think what's happened, though, is the advent of technology has made us collectively dumber. We rely so much on our phones that we don't want to look at what's right in front of us. Because one sense has been enhanced, we're losing touch with the others. And I want to let Brian speak, of course, but I think that increasing technology isn't the best thing, and I think that we have to go back and start sitting down at the kitchen table with our kids and teaching them, you know, look, listen, feel, stop, drop, roll, hear no evil, speak no evil, all these great things that grandma and great-grandma taught us, because they're going to make us safer as a society.
Well, and look at the things that our dads probably harped on, too. You know, when you first meet someone and you shake their hand, you can tell a lot about a person at that point. I mean, I never interviewed anyone for a job that the handshake wasn't a major tell, I guess. And now somehow we've decided we don't need to do that anymore. And so going forward, I think we're eliminating things that have helped us for, I don't know, since the beginning of time.
You're absolutely right. Despite what a lot of us want to think, we need human connection and interaction. Like we all humans need that, right? There's, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, I can take care of myself and live off the land and do that. Like that's great, but you still have some network or clique or group. It may be much smaller than other people, but we need that connection. And so part of the problem with technology, it's two sides of a coin, right? Look at all this information I have at my disposal right here in my pocket. But what is that information that I'm taking in and what does it really mean? And Bill, to kind of go back to what you said about crime and is it safer, is the best thing that the FBI does is they have crime statistics and they study everything down to so much detail because they have the resources to do that. And it's absolutely incredible. So if you just look at the data and look at the numbers, every single crime statistic for the last 25 or 30 years has gone down and continues to go down. Now, when I pick up my phone or I check my email or I turn on the TV, does it look like that on the news? Well no, right. It doesn't look like that at all. But the numbers don't lie. And so is the world getting safer? Yes, in a sense. But are we also getting a little bit dumber and a little bit less reliant on ourselves and more reliant on technology? Yeah, so that has other consequences that we may not realize. We're now, given the situation we're all in right now with COVID, it's like, hey, people are taking a look going, man, was I really prepared for this? And what if something like this happens again and it's much worse? So that's where training and education come in.
Yeah, I could totally see the technology part of it.
We could talk for hours on that.
Okay, we've been like puppies. We're just like running all over the place. We'll let you guys do a little bit more of directing us. How about that when we come back? Because we've got them hostage for the second hour. Yay! We are We the People Radio. You can find all the information about our guests, and there's a lot, at wethepeopleradio.us.